Welcome to 12-Minute Convos with Jesus Believers. God chose first to have a conversation with us, His creation. Our prayer is that this listening space brings growth and transforms your life forever.
Praise God for you, Paul.
Thank you.
It's a great pleasure to connect with you. What part of the world are you in today?
I'm in Dagenham in London, United Kingdom.
Tell us about your transformation from being a Muslim to Christianity. What was the trigger?
In the month of Ramadan, like they're fasting now, but that was in October 2005. So I was fasting during the period. So there's a night called, in Islam, it's called the Night of Destiny. That's the night that they believe that the Quran was revealed and all the rest. So that night I was praying in Islam as a Muslim, and I was praying that I want to, I'm praying for God to show me the right way and for peace in my home, in my life, because I was going through some issues, maritally and some other issues, and not my major, but issues that were disturbing my peace. So I was praying for peace. I was praying that everything goes on well. But apparently I was really praying that I know God more. That's Islam. I was praying Islamic way. So that fast track, that was on a Friday. So last Sunday, I was asked to take a little girl, the little girl of my first daughter, because I was a Muslim and my wife a Christian, you know. So, and those are the times that you feel there's some tensions going on. So I was told take this child to meet the mother in the church. So I picked the child, dressed up. I was just going there to just get this child to the mom in the church. So that was why I was going to the church that day. So I went there, parked the car, and entered the church. And I just sat down anyway. I gave the child to the mom and sat down. So as I sat down, the old man started to preach. So he preached along John 14:6. Let not thy heart be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. And he said that Jesus is the only way to heaven. So I got convicted anyway, I would say. And he did the altar call or the call to faith, and I stepped forward. And little did I know that he told his family members, because he came from Nigeria, he was a guest minister, that God has told him that someone will be saved on that day. He's going to be the only person that will come forward, and that person will be used by God mightily. So there I was, I got saved, I became a Christian, and everything changed.
How important would you say your wife was in that crossover for you?
Okay, she said this recently. Those are days of tensions. So one day she had a dream, and she told some friends and family members that I saw this man, and he was standing preaching in a church setting and all the rest. But she's been praying. Apparently, she wanted to marry a Christian, but ended up marrying Muslim because she saw a dream that God said that is your husband, you see. But she's been praying, standing her ground that I guess if, you know, sowing seeds, you know. So she was very, I would say God used her a lot, you know, to get me to where I am now. She's been the pillar. Otherwise, only God knows who I would have been. But she's a praying woman. You know, she's a praying lady, very, very prayerful, and she was determined to see that I come to Christ. She was not fussy about it, but she wanted it to happen anyway.
What's on the horizon for you?
Oh, I see an evangelist that we get into different nations to impact people with Christ. You see, I found out, because I'm coming from Islam and Christianity, and worked in the bank, have some secular experience and all the rest. And with my encounter, I found out that without Jesus, life will not be better, it will not be sweet. People don't understand it, but that's just the truth. Without Jesus, life can be full of crises and troubles we can't understand, we can't handle. But with Jesus, things will get better. So I see more of my evangelism work ahead. I see more wisdom to get to nations and people who are resistant to the gospel. You know, I see making friends deliberately with people who are opposed to the faith so that we can get the gospel preached to them. That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a lot of salvation, a lot of revival in the nations of the world. That's what we are pushing. And that's why we do the videos we do. And we pray for nations every Sunday in our church, because I have this vision of making sure that this gospel is preached and those who don't have the opportunity of knowing Jesus come to know Jesus and be saved.
Is it that you're getting inspiration at seasonally and that's when you turn to the writing, or is it just tremendously challenging and you don't get to write as much as you'd like to?
I have a lot of books, but I don't write them until I'm inspired to write them. I have so many manuscripts and materials that I've done, so many of them. There are hundreds of them. But I do them when I get inspired to say, okay, it's time. Then I release was for the time. Like go, I realized that people needed to be inspired. You know, there's some amount of lukewarmness and complacency regarding evangelism and all the rest. So we did a training. And it's out of that training that the book came, Go.
Again, the bedrock of who you are today still lies in education, still lies in wanting to know and learn more and then teaching to others. Is that accurate?
That's accurate. That's absolutely accurate.
Mm. Tell me about this childish smile I see. It's a joy that made me smile when I saw the picture before me. Was it always a joyous life as growing up as a child?
I'm the last son, so I've been a happy child as I grew up, you know. But challenges came when I lost my parents, mom after A-level and my dad, and just for the university. So that took away part of the smile. But then along the line, I met my wife now as a girlfriend. And then that picture was taken after I became a Christian. Mm-hmm. And the joy just came. You know, Christianity has given me joy I can't understand. Mm-hmm. I can't comprehend. That's why I'm passionate about it.
For a person that's listening that may not be in that place where they have the joy that we're speaking about, what's a first step you recommend they take?
Is to know, realize that there is someone who is a giver of joy. The Bible says it's a glad tiding of joy to everyone. So your religion or whatever you are now doesn't matter. All he needs from you is, like he said, the great invite, come. So you come to him, and that joy is yours. It's as simple as that. That's all I did. Just hear the voice of God, and you will see that you'll be joyful at all times.
In closing, is there anything else you'd like to share?
Yeah, I want to share that, like what I do, I saw my dad, who was a Muslim. Apparently, he was crying. So I asked my dad, it was in a vision, in the dream, why are you crying? And he said, it's because of you. I said, why? He said, because of the things you do. He said, the things you do is making him to be punished. I said, oh, that confirms my dad is in hell. And the devil does not like the preaching of the gospel. That's why I do this thing passionately, because I don't want anyone to end up being punished like my dad is being punished in hell. That's it. That's the passion behind, some of the passion behind what we do.
Amazing audience, links are in the show notes. If you want to connect with Pastor Paul, fountainofrevival.org.uk. Again, links are in the show notes. A pleasure, a treasure. Thank you for being on What is Inspired by 12 Minute Convos.